Before I read the scripture lesson today, I just want to do a disclaimer. I did this at the middle service, and it's really a sermon disclaimer, okay? So, don't expect much, okay? It's a new year, just kind of will ease into this year. Just if it's a throwaway, just let it go, okay? The first two services didn't appreciate it and said a lot of nasty things. And so anyway, just relax. Just go with it for a second. Today is Epiphany Sunday, and we're reading chapter 2 of Matthew's Gospel. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. It's the story of the Magi. You know, they come to town, and they're bringing gifts after the birth of Jesus. So kind of have that snare in your mind as you read these ancient texts. Why does Matthew tell us this story? Only Matthew tells it. What's the point? In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Where is he? Where is he? That was the question they wanted answered. That's what the Magi were after. Where is he? We have seen his sign. We want to know where he is. Okay, that's where I lost everybody at the first service. Okay, so it's downhill from here. Anyway, let me say, last week, for some strange reason, I still can't quite figure it out, I was thinking about and became obsessed with chemistry. I mean, just all of a sudden I said, I need to review my chemistry. Now, I don't know if it was the end of the year, nostalgia. I mean, I took a lot of chemistry in high school. I took one class in high school, but took a bunch of chemistry in college. And I guess it was the end of the year, and I was thinking, oh, those good old times, solutions and elements and molecules, titrations, all that good stuff was just, you know, getting to me. And then I was reading this book that someone sent me anonymously over Christmas, entitled Trespassing on Einstein's Lawn by Amanda Gefter. Interesting reading on quantum physics and cosmology and father-daughter relationships. But anyway, that's besides the point. Atomic structure. That's what I was thinking about. Atomic structure. Now, I have to say that things have gotten a lot more complicated since I first learned about atomic structure so many years ago. We were mostly concerned with parts like protons and neutrons and electrons. Good. Now I know, or at least I'll take your word for it, that there are some smaller things in there. Way down, like quarks and gluons and bosons and neutrinos and little strings of energy that are vibrating, all that stuff. I'll take your word for that. But I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about that, no. See one of Brian Greene's books if you want to think through that. Or better yet, after the 9:45 service next week, corner George Baker. He can explain it to you. Quantum mechanics. Anyway, let me just put it to you this way. You have the nucleus of the atom. And then inside that nucleus, you have protons and neutrons. Then you have, at least we used to have, this area that we call the electron cloud. Good. Okay, good. It's still there. Anyway, this past week I was reading about the Geiger-Marsden experiment of 1909. And in that experiment, they determined that the positive charge of the protons of the atom were located in the center of the atom, pretty much. And then surrounding that, the electrons, they thought they revolved, but they don't really revolve. They're out there. Anyway, I'm thinking about this, and coupled with the reading of this book by Amanda Gefter and her comments on her 10th grade chemistry teacher, Mr. McAfoos. And she said this about Mr. McAfoos, who had the rare gift of being both passionate and cool, she said. She said this: the day he taught us about the structure of atoms, he jumped up on top of his desk and did a little dance to illustrate the dynamics of electron energy levels. You know, a little bit louder now. Okay, anyway. The part of the lesson that caught my attention was when he noted that more than 99% of the atom is just empty space. Not empty like air, which is made of atoms, but empty like nothing at all. This desk, he told us, grinning and pounding his fist on the wood to emphasize its deceitful solidarity. It's mostly made of nothing. Okay, this is where I was last week, as I'm preparing for today. Okay, all this was working on me. Nothing new, just for some reason it took on a new significance. Friends, I don't know how else to say it to you or break the news to you except to say it this. There's just not much to it. To it, to life, to everything. There's not much to it. You see, the atom is mostly nothing. Okay? It's mostly just empty space. And if atoms are basically nothing, and you combine them into molecules, they're just a bunch of nothing. This is where I lost the middle service. Okay? This sent me scurrying to the periodic table. You remember the periodic table? Okay. 18 columns called groups, 7 rows called periods. And then you had like 2 separate rows down the bottom that filled in the gap because they didn't have room for it. But anyway, you have 118 little box squares. And that square is a number, the atomic number. Some charts have also the atomic mass, but don't worry about that. Atomic number based on the number of protons in the nucleus. Then you have these 2 little letters in the middle. And those 2 letters are what? The abbreviation of the elements. 118 is all we've got, folks, as of right now. And everything in the visible universe is made up of this stuff. Only 118 things. Huh. You want a diamond? What are you going to throw together? Carbon. But if you're not careful, what are you going to get? Coal. Graphite. You want some water? What do? Mix? Yeah. Get the ratio right or you're in trouble. Wow. Anyway, all this is coursing through my mind. Sodium and chlorine. Stay away from it. 118, that's all we've got. And how about this? Only 98 of those occur in nature. The rest are synthesized. 98. And of that 98, there are only 24 that appear in you. 24. And only 11 of those appear in any more than a trace amount, more than 0.01%. So you're only 11 elements, really. And of that 11, only 4 together make up over 96% of your mass. Oxygen, carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen. That's all you are. And most of that is what? Gas. Water. Who said gas? Who was that? Water. That's all you. Now you're throwing me off my game here. I guess the bottom line, what I'm thinking, all this is swirling in my head, is that humans are just a small fraction of nothing. That's it. And maybe I started thinking, that's what Abraham was getting at when he said this: let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord. I who am but dust and ashes. Or the psalmist when she wrote, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them? Mortals that you care for them? 11 measly elements and some traces of others. You feel substantive now? Real substantive. Author Kathleen Norris, one of my favorite authors, had her life transformed by an extended period of time, she spent in a Benedictine monastery in Collegeville, Minnesota. This is years ago. She spent 9 months initially, and she went back for some other times. And during that time, she just immersed herself in this community of people who are intentional about their faith. And it changed her world. It changed her worldview and challenged everything she held dear about this world. And so if you ever get a chance to read it, her insights about this worldview are worth the cost and the time involved in this. And she made this one particular note about our culture. She said this. She said, when a person commits an atrocity, and that's her word, atrocity. And when a person commits an atrocity, we tend, quote, to sigh and say, that's human nature. And she says, that's a strange idea to people who live in an intentional religious community. It is now, and it always has been, because they understand and have always understood that human beings are central to what God calls good in the religious tradition. God saw everything that God had made, and indeed it was very good. Good. And then the theological affirmation of Genesis 1, then God said, let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness. So God created humankind in the divine image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. In light of this theology of original goodness, an atrocity or any other malignant act by one who bears the divine image is an anomaly. It's not who we are. You can't just say, oh, human nature. No, invalid. Invalid. Gregory of Nyssa, 4th century bishop, one of what we used to call Cappadocian fathers, speaks repeatedly of this. Returning to the grace of that image which was established in us from the beginning. He says that's what your whole course of your life is to reclaim that image, uncover that image in you. Because it's there. Where is he? That's what they said when they came to Jerusalem. Where is he? We know he's here. We've seen the sign. But where is he? That's what the Magi were concerned. The word epiphany comes from the Greek word epiphania, which means manifestation or appearance. And the church started celebrating it on January 6th to celebrate the appearance of God's Christ, God's presence in the world. And it's a holiday that is just kind of too often just cast aside, and it sounds so, you know, church related. It is, you know, churchy, but it's really not so complex or esoteric. We're just trying to figure out this Christ thing. We're trying to figure out this God thing. We're trying to figure out this life thing. Because in first century Palestine, there were a group of fishermen primarily who, when they encountered an itinerant preacher named Jesus of Nazareth, discovered a path into the very heart of God. And it changed them. It was an epiphany. Wow. Friends, epiphany is the most misunderstood and least appreciated season of the Christian year. It's a shame because epiphany is really who we are. That defines us. Advent and Christmas are about God's presence in the world. Epiphany is about making it manifest. Where is he? That's what they said. Where is he? We want to know. We've seen the signs, but we want to see where he is. If you do the chemistry, we're not very impressive. We're just a bunch of water. Okay? You do that, and if you begin to feel kind of insignificant because of this, and you begin to use your humanity as kind of a cop-out, it's human nature. I want you to remember these words. You are the body of Christ and individually members of it. You are a combination of 11 elements. Throwing in some traces of other things. Those 11 elements can be arranged in infinite number of ways. Number of atoms, that sort of thing. You can get all sorts of creatures and podiums and all sorts of things, those same 11 elements. And the more I read about quantum mechanics and theories of consciousness and cosmology and all that good stuff, the less I know. But what I do know is that your combination of 11 elements somehow became you. 11 elements became you. And that's a miracle. And somehow 11 elements became me. And that to me is a miracle. It's like Tinker Toys. How many of you remember Tinker Toys? Anybody remember Tinker Toys? I don't because I'm too young. But how about Legos? Yeah, Legos. Okay. You can make anything out of Legos. You can start with the same blocks. You make anything. I always made the same thing. Just a house, a block house. Flat roof, just really plain. But I've seen people do some amazing things with Legos. You need to meet Chris Arwood. I don't think he's here today, but Chris, if you meet Chris Arwood and you see what he does with Legos, you will become a believer. Because what he can do. Amazing animals and art and machines and all sorts of things out of Legos, the same Legos that I'm using. Fourth century monk, Pseudo Macarius was his name, or what we call him, made a comment about Legos. Fourth century. The heart itself is but a small vessel. Yet dragons are there, and there are also lions. There are poisonous beasts and all treasures of evil. But there too is God, the angels, the life and the kingdom, the light and the apostles, the heavenly cities, and the treasures of grace. All things are there. Legos. In your 11 elements. I call it the Epiphany Challenge. At least I have for the last 24 hours. The Epiphany Challenge is this: to make something great out of something ordinary. That's the Epiphany Challenge. We've got everything we need. We got the elements. We got all we need. So the question is, what are you going to do? What are you going to make with that this year? Where is he? We know he's here. We've seen the oxygen and the carbon and the hydrogen and the nitrogen. We've seen the steeple from the corner of Millbrook and Glenwood. We've seen the side of the van. We've seen the placard out front. We know he's here. Where is he? 11 elements. The Epiphany Challenge. Happy Epiphany. Thanks be to God. Amen.